Welcome to the Whole Life Podcast Show, also known as the Heart Journey Podcast. I'm Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I'm so glad to be with you. And today I'm going to talk about healing from trauma, healing from a broken heart. I'm going to share, as an expert on trauma, an expert on inner healing, a minister and a psychologist, I'm going to share some of my own story with you. And I'm going to share how Heart Journey was birthed. Heart Journey is the book and journal that I wrote a few years ago. And now we have the Heart Journey mentoring and community, where you go through a year with me and I mentor your heart and we minister healing to your broken heart, the work of Jesus, healing the brokenhearted. All right, I have a couple notes here because I want to make sure that I include some things for you guys. So, first of all, I want you to know that this is going to be deeply personal. I'm going to share some things. I will allude to some things in case there are young listeners in the room, but my podcast is not exactly G-rated. So I want you to know that this episode includes some mentions of violence, abuse, and trauma. And it's probably not for little ears, although I will try to be discreet. All right. So, what I want you to know is what my life is like now. So, I want you to know what my life is like now, what it was like then, and how God birthed Heart Journey, which I believe it was His Spirit. Oh, I just got off of a Heart Journey pilgrimage where I went up to Prince Edward Island all by myself with my dog Bella Rafa and my car Phoebe. And so it was just me and got all the way up from Raleigh, North Carolina to Prince Edward Island and came back, saw 12 states, 31 towns, two provinces in Canada, many ports, many lakes, many waterfalls. I focused on water as well. And it was all about coming back to belonging with the Father. And I focused a lot on the story of the prodigal son, the father, and the older brother, wanting to be more like the Father and have my heart come home to the Father. I get to spend every day of my life helping others heal, either as a minister or a psychologist. Today, I have a PhD in school psychology. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I've done a year of school of theology at Duke. And I also have a grad undergrad in psychology. I have a private practice in psychology, and I have the opportunity and honor to speak on faith and Christian inclusion into therapy, and in particular, trauma healing. I've also, as a minister, been able to take so many women through the Hearts Returning Home course, which has now become Heart Journey. And now it's a Heart Journey experience. You can learn more at drbarbaraministries.org/experience. But I get to spend every day of my life seeing others healed. I have two beautiful children. I have a beautiful family. I have a wonderful husband. And things are not always easy, but we are pursuing the Lord together. And God has been good, but it didn't start out that way. So the scripture says that he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1:4. And that is so true. That is so true for me. So I'm blessed, and he who began a good work in me will carry that on to completion, I am sure. I am still healing. I am still in process. And one of the things that those who do ministry with me know is that I'm open. I'm open about places I'm still healing. And I love that. You know, we're not going to do this perfectly this side of heaven, but we grow from one degree of glory to another, constantly seeking him. So let me tell you a little bit about my family background, and you are going to see God's redemption and God's glory here for sure. So my mom got pregnant. She didn't know who my dad was. There was a situation that was quite violent that was likely my conception, if you can read between the lines. So she told my father that I was his, and they had just been dating apparently a couple weeks. He married her. He had been in Vietnam, and I didn't know any of this until I was much older. I learned that my dad might not be my real dad, father, my biological father, when I was 15. All right, so let's go back to there. He came from an alcoholic family where his mom had died from alcoholism, and his dad was very violent toward his mom. And I learned later my dad had been abused in many ways growing up. And then my mom had also grown up in an alcoholic home with violence, and she had been assaulted many times by also peers. Anyway, they grew up in a mess, both of them. So here they are, they get married out of this pregnancy. And believe it or not, there was some semblance of normalcy for the first 12 years. Now, there was a lot of domestic violence. My parents would beat each other up at night, scream, yell, holler. But there was some rhythms that were normal, which I'm really, really grateful for. And my grandfather and my step grandmother, who was my grandmother, their house was really a safety and a security. And we would go there on Sundays. So there were some normal rhythms, but I never felt like my mother was comfortable in my presence. And I didn't feel like I knew my parents very much at all, and especially my mother. I really wanted her approval and never felt like I had it. I never felt that she was comfortable in my presence. And when my brother was born, I felt that he was the favorite for her. And so things, there was a bit of a normal rhythm. I was definitely a target for bullying and did experience some pretty severe bullying. But I think it's because I was just so insecure and I was just an easy target. So, fast forward, some good things were there. I took dance lessons. My parents grew a garden. I mean, there were some nice, normal rhythms, even though there was distance, dysfunction, and almost every night there was a really loud and often violent fight at the dinner table. But there was still some normalcy. And after my mom met my stepfather and left my dad for him around, 12, 13, that's when things really fell apart. I moved with my mom because I was wanting her love so much, but she immediately became a very violent alcoholic. And she would get drunk most nights, and she would kick me out. She would hit, she would drag, and then we'd always act like nothing happened the next day. In fact, she would kick me out in my pajamas late at night, and I would just walk the stairwells of this little apartment we lived in, and it was really scary. And it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the nicest area of town. And anyway, so that went on for a while, and then I just started to develop eating disorders to cope over time. And then I went to live with my dad, who had at that time moved to Hawaii. But before that, he got into relationships with several women that he began to stalk and do very bizarre things in their house, and had a murderous rage toward them if they dated other people, and would talk to me about all these things. And he would talk to me about a lot of inappropriate things. So, meanwhile, God had his eye on me, and it would only be a few more years before I came to know him. So I live with my father. There was a lot of illegal stuff going on there, and my l life was under threat there. Long story, but I had to move back, and then my mom kicked me out again, changed the locks. I was homeless. Neither one of my parents would take me. And I ended up finishing high school that way, and barely passed with straight D's and an F. I thought I was stupid. At this time, I'd been living high and drunk as much as I could, had so many different eating disorders, and moved to North Carolina, followed my mom and stepdad here, and finally came to a breaking place after, suicide attempts and, oh, it's just violence that we were experiencing in the home and just trying to escape. And so I ended up in a situation where I was able to get a little bit of help. I ended up in the hospital, and that was a very good thing for me. I began to eat three meals a day, kind of get my electrolytes straightened out, and I heard about 12-step groups. God began to woo me. It was at this point people began to witness to me. I had some neighbors when I was younger that had witnessed to me, and then a Catholic family also that really took me in and were my bonus family. So I'm so grateful for these people. But anyway, God began to woo me, and within probably 6 to 9 months, I had become a Christian. I'm so grateful. And that was the beginning of healing. I mean, I was truly born again. And two different groups of people came to witness to me on the same day, and neither one of them had planned it. It was just my day. And I'm so grateful. It was 35 years ago, 36, actually. And wow, I'm so grateful. He saw me, he found me. And that was the beginning of healing. And I began to long to go to school. I began to long to help other people heal, but I was so broken. I would, I hadn't cried for years, and I would just cry through every service, and ended up in a good church where people adopted me as family, even though I was not so hot, but very big mess. And God began to speak to me that I would be an expert in my field, and many would come to me, and that I would help people heal from trauma. And I ended up getting, I did marry someone who didn't love me. Long story, he ended up leaving me. But before he did, I went to undergrad, and I worked with children and went to undergrad. And now, I thought I was stupid, and I ended up being valedictorian of a major university. What? Like class rank one. So, wow. And so the Lord was so good to me. That was just his favor. That was truly his favor, because I worked hard, but wow. That my husband left, and I had two little kids, and I remarried probably too quickly. I was in graduate school and was getting a PhD at this point, and finished the PhD, opened up a practice. Unfortunately, after a bit, that husband left too. And then I got back in touch with Tim, who was one of my pastors early on, and his wife left him round about the time that my husband left me. Now, in the middle of all this, I did have a full-term stillborn, and my dad died by suicide. My mom died by cancer. I had to set some boundaries with her, and then we had a reconciliation. I had a reconciliation with my dad before he passed. I mean, God was so good. And so now I'm married to Tim, I've had a psychological practice for 13 and a half years now, and I've been able to be a minister in Dr. Barber Ministries for probably about 6 or 7 years now. Wow. And so I've been able to see so many lives changed and transformed, so many blessings. I've faced things I didn't think I would face as a Christian. And yet God's goodness prevailed. And I love the prayer, the Beauty for Ashes prayer that we pray in Heart Journey. God, turn this into a beautiful place, because he's turned all my traumas into a beautiful place where I can minister to others, where I can share this story and I'm not reduced to tears, where I don't have to dissociate to get through it. So, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, my husband was encouraging me. He's like, "You have such a long wait list. What are you doing?" And I told him, and he said, "You should put this in a course for Christians." And so we did, and it did really well. And it was ministry, because it was exclusively from a Christian worldview, whereas counseling You take your clients as you find them. It's called self-determination. So I developed that, and then I developed that course into several mini courses. Then I turned it into the Heart Journey book. And one day, 6 or 7 years ago, I was listening to a song by Blake Shelton, Home, I'm Coming Home. And I just began to sob. And the Lord said, I want to call my people home, that He wants our hearts to come home to Him. You see, in all these wounds I had caused me to look to other people to be my source. I'm sure I've looked to my husbands, and I wish that wasn't plural, but it is. I look to them too much to be my source. I'm learning and still learning, and I've had to learn that my source is the Lord. And so Heart Journey takes us through 4 chapters of encounters with Jesus that stabilize the mind, the emotions, the nervous system, the behaviors, stabilize us socially and spiritually. Then we work on meeting unmet needs, and there are tools that work with the scientific mechanism of memory reconsolidation, where Jesus, we have encounters with Jesus in these places where we were hurt, and Jesus is able to satisfy those unmet needs through the Heart Journey tools. And then we have some tools for time reversing trauma and unburdening from or healing boundary ruptures and unburdening from resentment. And so once we work through those steps of healing trauma, healing unmet needs, and Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. He gives us beauty for ashes. So He's turning our ashes into beauty. This is what He does. We go from death in life, we go from life to death, but in kingdom, we go from death to life. Death to life. In the process, we have to feel some of the feelings of our lives. We might have to grieve. There can be some hard moments, but it's so worth it. Then chapters 9 through 10 are forgiveness and practicing spiritual disciplines, doing re navigating relationships differently, and we work on some redo experiences with the Lord. We work on making some amends, and then we write out our life purpose through the Heart Journey method, and then we launch into our life purpose. So exciting! You see, God heals us so that we can be more, we can be emotionally healthy Christians. You see, if we're not emotionally healthy, we're not spiritually healthy. Pete Scazzaro talks about this, so does John Mark Comer. We must be emotionally healthy, emotionally sober. The scriptures say, be sober minded. You know, I love this acronym for communicating with people. Think, is it true? T, true. Is it honoring and helpful? H, is it inspiring or important? I, is it necessary? And is it kind? Well, that sounds easy until we're triggered. And those triggers come from those places where we're still trying to get our needs met from people, places, and things. And that comes from our wounds, our unmet needs, our traumas. The past is present when we overreact. Where it's hysterical, it is historical. So let me close with this. I want to say that if God can heal my brokenness, He can heal your brokenness. I didn't tell every part of my story. I told a lot of it. But if He can heal me, He can heal you. Beloved, will you join us? Some of you might just want to read the book and do the journal, you know, get the journal and work through the journal. Heart Journey by Dr. Barbara Lowe is what my name is on the book, even though my married name is Barbara Jean Lowe Sobeck, which means strange person who grace found, so she walks low because she's saved. Yes. Anyway, but it's better if you can join the journey, join the Heart Journey mentoring and community. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/experience because we're doing it together. We have such a beautiful, safe community. We go through the book together, about a chapter a month, but really we spend more time on chapters 6 and 7 than others because we spend a lot of time having encounters with Jesus in the places of unmet needs. And we do this together. We have pastoral coaching with me every other Friday night and teaching the other every other, I'm sorry, not Friday night, Sunday night. Sunday night. And then we have, all right. So every Sunday night, we have teaching or pastoral coaching with me. So it would be teaching from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time one Sunday. Then the next Sunday, large group coaching from 6 to 7 p.m. and et cetera. We keep going in that alternating pattern. In addition, we have big sisters who've already been through the Heart Journey mentoring and community experience, who are going to help with leading prayer. So they're going to be helpful in leading prayer every week so that we can have times of fellowship, prayer, and encounters at a separate time. So it's amazing. It's powerful. There also, you get access to this amazing library of healing resources with me, and it's life transforming. It's come out of all my training in inner healing, all my training in psychology, and all my experiences with Jesus. I mean, at 54, this is 54 years of experience. So I hope you join us. I love you. I will see you in the next podcast. And if no one's told you today, you belong, you're important, you matter. Beloved, I'll see you in the next one.